This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled to be joined today by one of our regular guests, Robin Mitzen. Robin's a life counselor who does a fascinating variety of work. She works with professionals who are trying to self-actualize and do magnificent work professionally. She also works with families and trying to improve families and counsel with children and adults and so forth on personal and professional issues. A really gifted person. We're going to talk to Robin today about what makes some families able to resolve conflict well and some not able to, and some of the tips and thoughts around that. Robin, let me ask you to start by introducing yourself, and then I'll tee you up with the question of the day.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Scott, for having me back on the Business and Leadership Podcast. I appreciate that very much. My name is Robin Mitzen. I am a family counselor on the North Shore in Chicagoland area. I see individuals, couples, and families to help them focus on the things that will make them happier in their day-to-day lives.
And talk about, you deal with literally hundreds of people a year, hundreds of families, lots of business professionals. All families have conflict. Some families are able to resolve those conflicts and sort of work forward. Others are not. What are some of the things you see of attributes of families or people in families that are able to sort of make improvements and try and resolve conflicts in a better way?
Well, when I help families and partners, couples, you know, successfully resolve conflict, the key components that I use are proper communication, sitting down and having a conversation respectfully, asking prior if that person is available to do so, you know, without judgment, fighting fair, which is a new component in life, because people fight, they use the past, they say what they've done before, that there's no room for that. They use other people, well, we think and they think, and, you know, speaking with in I statements, there is fair fighting, and that is a component of such. Being non-judgmental is another component and attribute that helps better understanding of the other party.
When you talk about communication skills, it seems that so many people struggle on having effective communication skills. I mean, they might be great at public speaking, they might be great in a lot of other ways, but they have more difficulty in having intimate conversations or close discussions with their family, with their kids, with their partners, and so forth. Can people get better at that? Is that sort of innate, that people are good at this or not good at that? Can they get better at having those conversations in a non-judgmental, non-adversarial way?
I absolutely think so, and I know so. I've been doing this for over 30 years, and really mirroring what the person is saying, which is actually what you just did. You take bits and pieces of the sentence or the paragraph, and you just tell them, the other party, what you just heard. So that person is being heard, and that's really what people need and want. It's not a fix. You're not there to fix it. That's not how resolution happens. You're there to hear the other person, whether you think it's, you know, crazy or not, or whatever they're saying, it doesn't matter. That's where the ego goes away and the judgment goes away. And you just listen to that person, because really the conversation becomes deeper. Again, respectfully asking, being heard is being clear in their interpretation. So if I say something to you and you just assume that this is what I'm saying without repeating it back for me to be even more clear, then there's no communication to be had. And then it goes on. And then people don't really want to have a conversation because they think it didn't work. But if they're doing it properly and actually mirroring and listening, active listening, repeating back, again, without fixing or an opinion, that really, really does work.
So, Rob, we've talked about the concept of better communication, and so many of us are either good or bad on it, depending on what day it is and what's going on, but we can make efforts to get better. You talk about the notion of mirroring and really trying to hear what the other person's saying before you just respond and react in the knee-jerk way. So many of us knee-jerk react either way, but shouldn't. But you also talk about this concept, which I think is a fascinating concept, of fighting fear or fighting within bounds. And some people immediately go to, you're having a fight, and in the fight, if this doesn't resolve, I'm walking away, we're getting divorced, we're doing something bad. And how do you get both people to realize that not every fight has to be a nuclear fight, that the discussion can be a smaller fight, a conflict that can be resolved, but that as soon as you start to bring in life-changing discussions into that conflict, then you're fighting out of bounds. Then you're fighting in a bad way. How do you get people to move away from that type of fighting and to see that that's really a problem?
Correct. So that happens very often. And so the escalation from 0 to 10 becomes, like you said, groceries to we're getting divorced. And this is it. And so that, in fair fighting, you don't use those that language. There are specific verbiage that you can use that will be more productive. And speaking of the here and now, it does not speak of what's going to happen later. So that only leads me to believe when couples are having that 0 to 10 escalation of we're done, that just leads me to believe that there is long-term issues that have not been resolved or heard properly. And to go back to that communication and maybe truthfully going all the way back to what escalated in the first place and how insecure this relationship is, can be put into other words and other terms that you can then fight fair, because everyone fights, everyone argues, that's okay, it's healthy. But if you do so using the we're done or using the past or using others to help your plea, will never work properly.
And talk about this concept of like, let's say myself saying to a partner, to a wife, to, well, my friend says I'm right about this.
Right.
How
That's
unattractive.
That's what you don't do. Right.
How unattractive a concept is that? And how bad is that for relationships?
Well, what I think is that if you have a problem with your partner or family, then you speak to them in I statements, because it's not about Joe down the street thinks so too, because you're just using that to hurt, you know, and again, better your plea in this fight. So using I statements, people hear I statements. They don't hear Joe down the street thinks so too. You're already causing a defense mechanism in the other person that they are done listening to you. And so is that, as far as that goes, that communication is already cut off. It just doesn't matter what other people are saying or doing. And if that is a continuation, that must stop, because it then, I mean, what is there at the end of the day? You speak from yourself. That's all you have is you and your response.
And most of us at the end of the day can't control our partner, our spouse, our children, our family member, whoever we're in conflict with. But we can control ourselves, or we should be able to. What's your best advice for trying to have somebody show greater self-control in these situations while not closing up? How do you improve yourself so you bring your better self to the relationship or the discussion?
So I believe, you know, a few things. Major events such as it shouldn't be singular. They should be together. Even if you don't agree, even if it's boring to you, such as school meetings or financial meetings or therapy sessions, you know, a lot of people are paying bills. A lot of people delegate. You do this, I'll do this. And they don't care. Or just tell me what they said, you know. And these are major events that should be together. Again, even if the other party is uninterested, it should be done together. So that's one thing. The other is truthfully laying down your ego, and especially without judgment, regardless, if the other person is interested, it's simply important for the other person's needs to be heard and taken care of in a way that is authentic, as opposed to delegating or walking away or rolling your eyes. It doesn't help. So if you want to further your relationship, you are going to mirror so you could understand what they're saying. And that's really, again, all that matters is being heard.
And it's really a lot of the effort. It's just trying to slow down your impulse to immediately react or say something that you're going to regret saying and try and slow down and hear what they're saying, whether you agree or not. Just the effort of explaining or hearing, more hearing than explaining, is so valuable in relationships and improving them, whether the business, personal, family, kids, partner, spouse, et cetera. It's very important to take a moment not to react and to listen.
Correct. Exactly. So the pause really matters. So you pause, you listen, and you say, am I hearing you properly? Did you just say A, B, and C? Now, if you haven't, they will correct you and you say it again. So it's clear that person just realized that you heard them, and that would be very relieving. Then again, there's no fix, there's no opinion, there's no judgment, and it carries on and it really becomes more loving.
And it takes some of the stress out of the conflict, out of the room, and so forth, versus immediately reacting where you just escalate the stress.
Correct. Correct. Because people really want to fix the problem, and it doesn't need to be fixed, and it will then escalate. So again, just taking the pause, listening, repeating, and that actually helps the people that you're in conflict with continue on with the conversation so you can talk and resolve.
And it also probably leads them to a spot where they're not as conflict-oriented or escalation-oriented. So they at least felt hurt a little bit. It sort of softens the dialogue a little bit, tries to at least take some tension out of the ear and move things forward. Robin, I want to thank you for joining the Becker Business Podcast today. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Always insightful. I want to thank you very much for joining us. How can people reach you or find you if they want to consult with you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Scott. I'm on Facebook. I am on LinkedIn and Instagram. I can be found on my website, yourlifecounselor.com. And I'm available for, you know, on the North Shore in Chicagoland area today. And I just want to thank you and Grace and your entire staff for having me back on. Appreciate it.
Well, I thank you and I thank Grace for tremendous patience with having to deal with me. So I appreciate, Grace, your help. Robin, you're joining us. Always insightful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Scott.